conferences and different camps and retreats and all this. They are wonderful, but they're looking for this quick fix. Instead of cultivating, walking out my faith in Christ Jesus, growing, getting familiar, and recognize the purging and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, we want, oh, when somebody said, oh, I heard from the Lord, and blah, 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 you know, oh my goodness. I remember as a young boy, I was raised by my grandmother, by my grandparents. And one thing I love about my grandparents is they spoiled me. But it comes with a cost. They're very strong in their faith in God. My grandfather is a Methodist minister. But he's very traditional, very strict. I remember every morning when I was a kid, Grandma would be praying about 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Oh, you can't sleep. We live in a small room. So when she's praying, everybody else wake up. So I would, as a little kid, you know, do all kinds of sound just to give her a signal, we need to sleep. Yeah. And that's what I was doing. But as I grew up, I realized why they were doing it. I realized why every morning I can feel the tender hand of my grandmother over me. Oh, Lord, I pray for Joelle. I pray when he grow up and this and that. And, you know, they pray for everybody. You know, so move this way, move that way, trying to get her stop. But as I grow up, I appreciate the sacrifice that they've made for me, being a small rascal, and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And one day, at home, the place where I was raised, I was born in the tiny little island in the middle of the ocean somewhere in Fiji. I was raised in the city, but it's kind of like this low-cost area. We have an apartment, we share, there's no room, just one big, we divided curtains in there. So our economy, I thought we were rich, but I didn't know the struggle that they have to go through. And then one day, there is this new ice cream that came to our neighborhood. And then this ice cream has strawberry flavor. You know, if you from our neighborhood, if you have ice cream, oh, that's luxury, you know, or even have apples and grapes, those kind of fruit, you know, that's a luxury. So this new ice cream came about, and every day we see the ice cream truck goes on, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, and then advertising this nice, it's called Topper. You know, and whoa, all the kids, oh, would love that. And so all the kids, a few days later, I see all the kids were running around enjoying their topper. And I can't, because there's no money to get my topper. So I decided I'm going to do something. The temptation was so strong. And so I went to my grandma's purse when she was doing laundry. And I picked up probably about 10 cents. That was big at that time. Then I went to the shop, bought my topper, make sure that I hide beside the tree somewhere that no one can ask for my topper, enjoy the taste, and then came home. Now, one thing about I don't know about you, but my grandparents, they know every little penny is in their purse. You know, when something is missing, they will know. So I came home and, you know, because 10 cents at that time, you can buy a bar of soap for our laundry. Well, 10 cents was gone. And then I was playing outside with the kids. I slept, and then I cut my hand. I still have the scar. And the good thing about that is that I don't need to go to school. I have to stay home with grandma and then have an apple or grape. So she continued to do her task at home. I was there, inside, enjoying my no school day. And then grandma came inside, sat down, firstly closed the curtain, and then he sat down in front of me. She said, sit here. I said, okay, what's going on here? He said, there's 10 cents missing from my purse. I want to buy soap for our laundry, but do you know? I said, no. No, maybe uncle did it. You know, I was raised by my uncles, with my uncles. So I made my argument, and I was spared. And after a while, she came back. She sat there. She said, Joel, can you sit down? She said, while I was washing the clothes, I felt that God told me that that hand, that finger, that God injured is the finger that took the 10 cent coin. My goodness, I nearly passed out. You know, the awareness for me that God Almighty can communicate to us in a personal way. I didn't, when she said that, you know, it was okay. For me as a kid, that was it. I just went down to the floor. Forgive me, Grandma. That day as a child, that experience changed my perspective of what is it to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we have friends, you know, I'm married to my wife for 12 years, but we've been friends for 8 years before we got married. And I'm still learning more about her. But the more we know each other, yeah, the more we're familiar with what he likes, what she likes. When she's sad, she doesn't need to tell me. I know it. Yeah. Or if there's something that is burdening her, I know it. And that's the relationship that we have with God. That he's not a God that is so far away, distant from us, that only the elite, the spiritual elite, are in contact with them. For us, as a believer, the Holy Spirit is with us. So when we listen to the sermon, as Jan, our friend, shared about his experience, and we listen to the teaching, the biblical teaching, and we ask ourselves the question, how can that work? The good news is that God has demonstrated this. So as we wrap up here, this chapter 6 is a very unique chapter because there are different tones in Paul's writing. It's like different verses that stand out, that stand alone. And then it's sometimes it's tried to put them together. But here, as we read from, there are two things that we see in this chapter. One, it is the character. It's the challenge for our character and the development of our Christian growth. And second, as we read right to the very end, it speaks of this problem of who we are and not some of our dysfunction as believers that comes to the solution of us finding our identity in Christ. It's amazing. 25 said, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in the step of the Spirit. And then it says in 26, let us not become conceited. And here he talks about the issues of the heart, that will be dealt with by recognizing our identity. Issues, identity. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Let's just stop there a little bit. Go back to 26. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Why is Paul saying this to the Galatians? The confusion that comes through the new gospel, the gospel of following the law that has been preached by these circumcisers. They're saying that the gospel of Paul that is preaching, that is not enough. What they're saying is that the work of Christ on the cross is not enough. You have a part to play on your salvation by following the law. So this whole teaching kind of divided the church. So Paul's request here is to deal with character, first the gospel, the character and the unity of the church. This word, conceited, there's a scholar, F.F. Bruce, in his statement about this text here, the word conceited, in traditional English, it's to do with it's called vain glory. Let us not become conceited, envying each other. And it's about a character that will do anything to gain from any relationship or any situation. It's all about us. It's all about me. It's what can I get from this? It says, let us not become conceited, envying one another, provoking each other. And he says, brothers and sisters, if someone caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. That's amazing. Yeah? Conceited, seeking vain glory, provoking and envying and being jealous of each other. Envy is a very powerful word, very destructive as well, to envy someone. And that is that you want something that you don't have. It can't be rooted also with the word jealousy. You know, I'm jealous of you because you have something I don't have. And it's a vice, it's very powerful. And then here, it brings out an instruction of how do we deal with those who have fallen short. One of the biggest platform of destruction in any church is when members start talking about each other, gossip and talk. When somebody make a mistake, what is our first step? When somebody caught in, says here, when somebody caught in sin, it is legalism that will hinder us from functioning in the way the Bible wants us to move. It is our love for one another that motivates us, compels us. Let's go. We care. We care about our people. That's what Paul is saying here. When someone is sin, go and restore. How can we restore this person? Yeah. Many times, oh, you know what happened to so-and-so. Oh, we need to pray for them. And then we start talking about their lives for 1 hour and pray for a few seconds for them. This is what's happening here. And Paul is warning and bringing this matter to the church so they can grow. And one of the ways for us in walking in the Spirit is how we treat one another. And that happens. That happens. I've experienced that myself. I believe most of us, we deal and we react to certain situations, certain people, in different times, and we have grown. We see things differently as we grow in understanding not only what the Word of God says, but the journey that people have taken. So Paul is dealing with some character stuff here. And he said, carry one another's burdens. So first, do not be conceited. Don't use opportunity or build relationship for your own gain. See what I can get from here, from this. Stop being envy of each other. Be quick to restore people. Be quick to go and bring them into fellowship. There's something that we would like to grow in. And then it says here, watch yourself, that you also may be tempted. And then he said, carry each other's burden. I like this verse. Carry each other's burden. How do we do that? You know, this morning we have to get the trolley to pull this out because it's heavy. And shall make sure that we use the trolley. I don't know the weight on this one. But if this is my burden, and I'm trying to carry it alone by myself, yeah? It's got a mold up there. No, I'm not going to try to carry it. So, say this is 100 kilo of burden that I'm carrying. And I need help. He said, carry one another's burden. John Marie, come here. You want to help carry my burden? Okay, go back, sit down. Okay, yeah, we're not going to carry it. Yes, so just stay there. Yeah. So, say if this is 100 kilos, and he's carrying there, so my burden is lighter, it's 50 kilos now. Seth, can you help me? So Seth comes from there. And you take that corner, Seth. Oh, yeah, Okay, so. Oh, that's a strong Filipino warrior there. Can you come up, my brother? So we have this. You'll stand from here. Or there you. So they're here to help me with my burden. And now I have 25 kilos of burden to carry. Because these guys, they helped me. Thank you. To carry one another's burden is not so much what we can gain from it, but how we serve each other. All this is learning to walk in the Spirit. He said, When you do this, Paul says, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. Amen? And as I see, when I can remember, remember the first time when I got here, the amazing people here in this church, there's a tradition of reaching out to one another and helping each other. Many of our members who have sacrificed their resources, their time, to carry one another's burden. And he says here that by doing this, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are some, when they are not, they deceive themselves. Character. Patience earlier on in chapter 5. These are the marks of the people who are walking in the Spirit. Then it says that we are to cultivate this by sowing our lives. Even when we are tempted to do the wrong thing, we choose to stay focused and do the right thing, even though it's difficult to do the right thing. Have you ever felt that way? That sometimes it's hard to do the right thing, but we do it anyway. Walking in the Spirit. How do we cultivate that? He says that we will reap the reward. Whatever we sow, we are going to reap. When we spend time with God, faithful in the Word and in our prayer life, not in groups, not with, but you alone, when you work out your own relationship with God, God, I want to know you. It'll cost you. Because you'll take time away to work on your own relationship with Jesus. You'll do whatever to grow in your relationship with God. Let's not become weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. It's not talking about just turning up or being there, but your faithfulness and the quality of your giving and being involved in what you believe God has called you to do. We're sowing and reaping. When we sow in the flesh, we are going to reap. That is the principle of sowing and reaping. Do not envy. Do not be conceited. Vainglory. What can I get from this relationship? What can I get from being part of this group? Or what can I get from this friendship? Our motivation and our agenda. Carrying one another's burden. Says that when you do this, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. Everything we do, we're sowing. And that's how we walk in the Spirit. Is living out the gospel. Don't give up. Let us do good to all people. says he is especially to those who belong to the families of believers. We're all different. We come from different backgrounds. Our spiritual life are different from the others in terms of our long. I remember I was in New Zealand working there, and there's a family that came and joined the ministry. And then everybody was complaining about this family because, you know, the kids, they were all over the place. Of course, they're kids. And I kind of get a feel for this family. And there were people, they were either annoyed or cannot really tolerate the way they function, the way they live their life in this organization. And then I tried to befriend them. I was a friend of the father. So we would go out running together. And then the more I spent time with him, I began to learn their story. They were not born in a Christian family. They don't have the luxury that many of us have to grow up with the Christian parents, go to church when you were a baby. They came from broken, messed-up background, both of them. And as they got married, they bring those dysfunction with them in their marriage until they found Jesus. So they've been a Christian for a few years. And the way they respond and the way they, you can still see that they are growing in their relationship with God, in their faith, working out a Christian life. But many we choose not to see those things and understand. And understand how we extend grace and walk with others who are different from us. And many times we see them and focus on their dysfunction from our platform of perfection. That's exactly what Paul was saying to the Galatians. That it doesn't matter, that we are to tolerate and carry their burden. I hope that we will grow in that as believers here at SIC. That not only we meet, we say hi, we fellowship, and we go, that we will know people the same way that we want to know God. What's your story? You know, Jean-Marie and I, we've known each other for a long time. If you may, I remember one time we were there at the fellowship hall many, many, many years ago. We were talking with Shell yesterday with the men's breakfast. And we were talking about our story, our journey. And Shell was encouraging us to talk about the blessings that we've had. Talk about some blessings. And I am so honored to get to know my brother Jean-Marie and many of us here. But to hear his story, his journey, to understand the challenges that it's easy for us to come alongside people and carry them when we take time to get to know them. I have failed in many ways in getting to know people, making an effort to know people in the journey and understand them, where they come from, the challenges that they go through. And it's important for us. And I want to close here with that. That part of our sowing and reaping is how we treat one another and how we walk with each other. And I hope that we'll make that a prayer. Not only that we come and meet, but I said, Lord, I want to know. I want to be a servant to my fellow brothers and sisters. If somebody is in need, not only in need, our needs comes in different way. One of them is financial needs, finances. You know, if you're helping, carrying the burden of someone who is struggling economically, carrying their burden, of course, we'll have to be part of that in giving. And sometimes, but it's a sacrifice from us. It's not that what I gain from this, but the sacrifice that we made to serve each other in Christ. Be a burden bearer. Cultivate our own relationship with God. Get familiar with each other and with God. You know, let me just say this. My wife and I, we've been friends. I met her in 1996 in Atlanta, Georgia. I have trusted God for many things in my life in ministry. Many miracles I've seen. But one of the biggest miracles that I was trusting God for was a wife. Yeah. And sometimes it's a battle. What we're saying here is, what Paul is saying here is that fulfillment, true fulfillment, comes from God. So we were friends, and then we went our separate ways. And then I was in New Zealand. I've done all kinds of ministry, and I've come to a place. I said, Lord, you know my prayer request. It's written boldly there. There are single people here as well. So I would walk up this mountain. It's called Mount Wellington, and pray. Yeah, me, myself, and God. And, you know, this one thing that I love about this is that God delights over us. He wants to give us, he wants to unfold to us, to you and I, his plans and his perfect will. It's a delight for a father to do that. And sometimes we think we are not worthy enough for him to answer our request. And that's a lie. Galatians speaks of us being adopted by God, that we are part of a family, that we are heirs, that we are part of the covenant of Abraham. We're part of that seed. And many times we hear and it goes this way. Sometimes we need to stop and say, yes, I take that word to heart. Lord, you said you will do this. I'm going to trust you for that. That's walking in the Spirit. So anyways, one morning I went up, okay, Lord, I think I'm ready, you know, to move in this direction. The very next week, I got an email from my wife I haven't seen for nearly 10 years. And he was traveling around the world. And he's saying, I'll be in New Zealand. So it was a mass mail to everyone. And then it said, I'm in New Zealand now, and da-da-da-da. So, I'm in New Zealand as well. This is my number. 5 minutes later, the phone ring. I picked it up. Hello? And I recognized the voice on the other line. It's the voice of my friend. We haven't seen each other for a long time. So we went, she was just 5 minutes from where I was staying. So we met the next day for coffee. So I went, I borrowed a car from one rugby player. It's full of McDonald's and dirty socks, and it's very old, you know. So I parked the car far away. So I was waiting in this gas station looking out, and I saw my wife walking. As soon as I saw her, my prayer has been answered. That's it. You know it, yeah? So we went, we had coffee. The next day, I drove her to the airport. And as we were driving, I just bumped her shoulder. So, how about you pray about being my wife? I just looked at me, what? What did you say? You want to pray about being my wife? Stay forever? We'll go to Fiji and I'll try to reenact in a nicer way this. When you sow, you are going to reap. If you sow in the flesh, we will reap. If we sow in the spirit, we are going to receive it. So don't give up. Take time to get to know God. Take time to spend time with Him, His Word. Delight in Him. If not, ask Him, Lord, give me a hunger for You. I want to know You. I want to know You. And that's the whole, this part of chapter 6 of Galatians. Paul turning character, turning this area of our lives into identity and who we are in Christ. That one of the biggest challenge and answer to our prayer is this, that we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus through the work of the cross. Amen? There is one question I remember I asked God one day. I was sitting in a church in the middle of the night somewhere in Portland, Oregon, going through one of the difficult times of my life. Midnight, I'm sitting there in this small church. And this question I asked, it just came. Say, Lord, what do You think of me? What do You think of me? Maybe we can ask that question to God and see what He thinks of you. And you better be ready for what He will say to you. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You. We thank You for the growth. We thank You for molding us to be more like You. We pray that we will be aware that every day of our lives we are sowing. And one day we are going to reap. Bless our people. In Your name we pray. Amen.